So much for leading us in worship today. This morning, as we carry on with our home improvement series, we're going to today be talking about communication. Communication is something crucial to relationship. And this morning, I expect that you can glean things from this that will help you in many different relationships in your life. Husband, wife, parents and kids, other folks that may find some things today that will help you in thinking about communication. The scripture that we shared a scripture in the bulletin this morning that is kind of a wonderful expression out of Philippians, the second chapter, about the way in which we need to actually hold an interest in the lives of others, not just in our own interests. And that is, I think, such a great foundation to understanding communication, being able to communicate well with other people in whatever format that takes shape. Because if you have an interest in the needs of others, that's going to form the basis of really meaningful communication back and forth between you and others in your life. But the key scripture that I want to share with you this morning, beyond that, comes from Ephesians chapter 4. And Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 15 and following through the chapter, I'm going to read for you this morning, and you can follow along, and then we'll highlight some verses out of it as we go. It says, beginning of verse 15, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up in according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Great passage of Scripture. I love the book of Ephesians, I got to say, and just find myself just looping around it over and over again in my life. And this chapter is just one of those incredible expressions of truth in the Lord. And so as we look at it this morning, we'll be looking at it in light of what it helps us to understand about how we build those connections and relationship with one another. Communication is crucial to relationship, and what you find is that communication either builds up or tears down. You can fill in those blanks, by the way, in your bulletin if you are following along with your sermon notes. But communication either builds up or tears down. We have that ability and that power. Last week we put some emphasis on what we speak and how we have those powers to either build up or tear down by what we say. The communication this morning, I want us to understand in a broader scope of life. Rather than only understanding it in terms of what we say, it goes hand in hand with what we do and how we communicate, not only verbally, but otherwise in our lives with people in our relationships. And we'll find that it either builds up or tears down. Now, in life, do you sometimes feel like you need a translator? Anybody ever feel like that? Sometimes communication is not an easy connect. Am I right? Sometimes that's, it happens in all kinds of relationships. You ever feel like you and your spouse are speaking different languages? You and your children speaking different languages. Maybe your friends, you and your friends, just two different states of life. How about you and your boss? Some of you, I'm sure, can relate to that your boss is speaking a foreign language, or your employee, somebody you're trying to direct in life, may be the one that you think of. But you ever feel like you're speaking different languages? Well, it's not actually very unusual. And I have kind of a little illustration that I want to share with you this morning. Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Okay, so what does that verse mean? Well, I have discovered through extensive research. No, actually, I really came across this in a conversation one day around the table at staff meeting, that suddenly I had an illumination about the different ways in which men and women will read a simple verse like this. A man hears, God doesn't want me to be lonely or overburdened, so God made me a helper. In other words, I have things to get done, and my wife is here to help me do them. Isn't that what that means? A helpmate? God made a helper for the man? That's what men hear. I got stuff to do, and now I got somebody to help me get it done, right? Okay, here's what a woman may well hear. It is not good for a man to be left on his own. He'll get in trouble or break something. In other words, mister, you need help, and I'm here to help you. Now, is that accurate? I had that illuminated to me one day in the way that we will see a simple verse of Scripture like this. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And we will sometimes hear great differences in a simple thing like that, depending on our perspective in it. Communication is not always an easy task for us, but it is crucial in relationship because it will either build up or tear down. And so being aware of that, we need to work at it. I want to share with you four truths that we'll highlight out of this passage in Ephesians 4 about communication. And that for communication to be uplifting communication, one, requires investment. It requires investment. Verses 15 and 16 said, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." There's an investment. There's an investment in communication. You invest in that other person. You have to invest. If you're going to communicate effectively, if you're going to really do communication with people that is uplifting, it's going to require that you invest in those people. You see the call to build each other up in love, speaking the truth in love, building one another up in every respect, that we would become formed after the image of Christ, as each part in the end does its work. This is an investment. It's work sometimes to really connect with people and to build others up and to have that kind of uplifting effect. I'm sure that many of you have read the book or have heard of the five love languages. Gary Chapman does a wonderful job of highlighting and kind of giving us a framework of seeing how communication can be either very effective or can just miss the mark. Just like that, how a man and a woman might hear that verse, "It is not good for the man to be alone." We'll get a helper for him. Whenever we begin to think about how we connect with other people, this helps us to recognize that communication goes beyond just words. It touches upon other aspects. And Gary helps us to realize the investment quality of communicating in an uplifting way. It's an investment. And that if you operate out of a selfish place of your own need, you're not going to uplift others effectively in communication. But if you are invested in them, then you have a basis of really being an uplifting communicator. Gary, of course, did this originally related to husbands and wives, but now there's a whole library shelf of five love language books that relate to parents and children, to the five languages of appreciation, being able to relate this to how we express appreciation to other people and how they receive it, and a lot of what Gary emphasizes out of this is that if you want to communicate in a way that is uplifting, you need to communicate in a way that someone else will understand and respond to. Not just the way that you would respond to it or the things that you like, but in a way that they would like. For instance, he has words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, physical touch. Receiving gifts is an easy illustration. Whenever we go out and get gifts, what do? We so often make the mistake of going and getting somebody something that we think they'll like, instead of getting them something that they will like. Sometimes, in fact, our frame of reference is not them, but ourselves. Oh, I would really like this, so they're surely going to like this. And it often doesn't communicate well. You know, it's the infamous husbands and wives, husband gets a tool. He's all excited because boys with toys are always excited and happy to have something to play with, right? Man gets wife tool, got you a new washer, got you something to cook with, got you something like that. What, you think I'm just a maid? Do you think all I do is, and it's this miscommunication. What do wives go out and get a husband? They, instead of getting them a toy, they go out and get them, oh, I got you a really pretty shirt. It's really nice. This is a nice shirt. I think you'll really like this. And got you some socks and a tie. And this is so nice. And it'll make you such a nice outfit. And a man's going, I needed underwear, and you understand? So what Gary actually helps with is this idea that we are a people who speak the truth in love in a way that is meant to build someone else up. It's investment. That requires that you invest yourself in that other person, in being able to say, what do they need? In fact, at the end of the passage that we were reading, it said that we were to say only the things that would build others up according to their needs in verse 29. So this is what really Gary describes. Someone else, they understand love through words of affirmation. You understand love most through physical touch. So here you have two people who are trying to express to one another, I really care about you. The one is sitting there petting the other one's hand the whole time, saying, and thinking, oh, they've got to know how much I love them. They've just got to know how much I love them. I am petting their hand all the time. And that other person is sitting there saying, I just wish they would say, I love you. You get it? And it goes like that so often in our life and in our relationships, where we don't actually come to know the other person and invest in them in a way that says, I know what trips your trigger. I know what hits the mark with you. I know that if I do something in service for you, you're going to go, whoo, that was wonderful. You're a great person. You care about me. Instead of just sitting there saying to them, I really love you and I really care about you. And they're just thinking, would you get off your hind end and do something to help me? Right? You understand, and what Gary Chapman describes then out of that is that we have a love tank that we'll either fill up positive feelings of love and attachment to that person, or our love tank will get sucked dry and will be empty. And he relates that, of course, in marriage very profoundly to that need to relate to your spouse's needs and to plug into that and to show them love in the language that they understand best. So that if they are a physical touch person, just petting their hand is going to make them feel great. I'm really kind of a physical touch person, and a lot of respects, and quality time, I think, is my other thing. But Janice, was like saving my life whenever I had surgery, and all men are, ready to die in battle and cry themselves to sleep in bed, whenever they're sick. So, but I had, I had a hernia surgery. I'm waking up, I feel lousy and everything. My wife, she would kiss me. Say, kiss me again, you just saved my life. It just felt like that. It's like, for heaven's sake, I'm now alive because you've kissed me. And it's like, do it again because I feel alive every time you kiss me. And that's why it says that to me. Boom, boom, boom. She reaches over and touches my hand. Woo! She loves me. you know. She's always wanting to do stuff for me. And that's great. I appreciate that. That's wonderful. And she keeps telling me that that's the way I'm supposed to tell her that I love her. And I struggle with that. That's not my winning number. You know, I'd rather buy a gift. But you understand then what that said. It takes investment to communicate with others your concern, your love, your compassion, your concern, you know, your uplifting them requires that you communicate in a way that they understand. Building one another up in expressions that fit their needs. Gary Chapman really helps to highlight that in a great way and just recommend that, you know, that's a great place for you to grow in understanding of this. But it's in keeping with what the word here says, that we build one another up, speaking the truth in love, and speaking in a way that is uplifting and upbuilding according to others' needs. And so it takes investment. The second thing, communication requires honesty. Communication requires honesty. If it's going to be uplifting, it's got to be that. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Why is honesty, why is truthfulness, why is speaking the truth in love so important? Why is it so important that we put off falsehood, that we don't pose, that we don't fake it, that we don't lie, that we don't hold back information, that we don't deceive? Why is that so important? Well, it's because it's moral. It's because you're a bad person if you lie. It's because of... Why is that so important? Because it has to do with trust. You can't trust people that aren't truthful, that aren't open and straight with you, right? There are a lot of people, they're honest folks, but they are closed, really. And they don't let you get near. And it's hard to trust people like that sometimes because there's not really any expression coming forth from them. And it doesn't allow you to get to know the trustworthiness of their lives. Being truthful really will at times force us to be more open than we want to be. And it's challenging. Especially if we have to speak the truth in love and it's hard stuff. Isn't that difficult? Hard to say the hard things in life? Oh man, do I ever struggle with that. You know, and Janice and I will struggle with that till, you know, don't you hold back things sometimes whenever you're in a close relationship with somebody else because you don't want to say it because you know they're not going to like hearing it and that's not the thing that is going to be a winning conversation. So you hold it back and you hold it back and you hold it back and you hold it back until, boom, it blows up one day. Then you speak the truth. Not so much love, but truth, right? The one good thing that I've found over the years is that in those battles that we do finally get to the truth. And I tell you, that's when you know how important it is that you open up your life and that you're honest with each other. If you're going to get into a deeper and a more personal, more intimate relationship, you've got to get open, you've got to be honest, you've got to be willing to even deal with sometimes the hard stuff in life. But the more that you build a sense of trust and confidence in one another, the more that you're able to do that. Remember last week I shared with you the article I had come across, a social scientist, just looking at how couples respond to each other, just in casual conversation. You know, he's sitting there doing something, and sweetheart says, "Oh, look at this." And he either ignores her, says, "I'm busy, would you please let me alone?" Or says, "Yeah, what's that, baby?" And depending on whether or not you build those positive interactions with other people, we'll develop either a trusting relationship or we'll close it down, put up walls, and say, "You can't even talk to that person. They won't open up to me. They won't listen to me. They won't help me to work through problems. They won't have a discussion that can be peaceful. All it will do is get a wall between us." And that was a predictor of divorce. This guy got really good at it Like 9 out of 10 times he could tell you at the start of a relationship with newlyweds, watching how they interacted, whether they were going to be together a few years down the road or not. Because they created an atmosphere where there was truthfulness, and truthfulness has to do with trust, where there's a sense that there is a trusting place where you can be honest, where you can be open, where your life can be expressed fully. That's where intimate, uplifting relationships develop. They become these safe havens, these places where you can actually know that there is trust, and it is built up in a way that allows there to be this supportive interaction, a belief, a hope that you can solve a problem. And last week I told you that we can either open up our lives in that to one another and to the work of the Holy Spirit, or we can shut it down and we can grieve the Holy Spirit, even in the midst of the church, in the midst of our families, and we can just shut it down by either being a people who have that gracious ability to create that environment where trust lives. And truthfulness is going to be important, is so important to trust. If you lie, if you're deceitful, and things of that nature, what happens? You lose trust, and you have to rebuild that. And it's not always just the huge calamities, the huge things that shut down that trust factor, but sometimes it's the very little things of simply not opening up your life in a way that shows that you can be trusted and relied upon. Third thing, then, is that communication requires self-control. Self-control. Ephesians 4 has this very famous verse, "In your anger, do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need." Self-control. That we have to be a people who can exercise self-control in order to communicate well with others, not just to be reactionary. This is one of the places that we so often get into trouble, isn't it? Where you just react in situations. Where you react out of your own emotions. You react out of your own fears and anxieties. You react out of your own hot button that somebody put their finger on, and boom, the explosion goes off. We so often simply become reactionary. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let your emotions just rule you in a way that then run you into reactionary kind of communication, because the end result is that if you let those things happen and you let that go out of control in your life, then you give the devil a foothold in your life and in the midst of those relationships. Isn't that a horrid thought to think, man, I just gave the devil a chance to work in my life? You know, it's one thing that when you and I have a moment of outburst, but listen, self-control is the thing that has to come in to manage those reactions, to manage that reactionary quality of our emotions, and manage it by replacing fear and anxiety with peace and with confidence. And where in the world do you get that? Where in the world do you get that? Well, some people try to build it out of their own ego and out of their own willfulness and out of their own ability. Well, I'll just assert myself to be self-controlled. And let me tell you, that so seldom works well. It has to be built in the power of Christ in our lives to be able to have that ability to manage our emotions, to have that power of Christ in us that can overcome our fears, our anxieties, our own nature in a way that cease to be just reactionary, but we become self-controlled. We can deal with our anger in a constructive way. We can interact with people in a way that we stop, take a breath, and realize if they're acting like a jerk, that it may not be that they are just simply a jerk. But you know what? They may be really having a horrendous day. They may really be responding to you out of something that has happened to them in earlier in their life. Or they may have developed a horrid pattern in their life, a horrid pattern of how they deal with life. And you've run into it. But if you have that kind of self-control, you can actually stop, take a breath, and say, what's going on with this person in their life? It's that kind of power that Jesus would bring in our lives when he said in Matthew 5, get down to the business of praying for your enemies. He said, don't just curse them. Don't just look for an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said, pray for your enemies. Get invested in them in a way that you can actually not just react to them, but you can begin to, in self-control, assert the work of Christ. Let that actually take over in those moments. Have you ever experienced that where you have reacted to somebody not out of your own natural place, but out of the grace of Christ? And isn't it incredible when you can come out of a situation and say, that was God! That wasn't the old me. The old me would have punched him in the face. The old me would have cussed him out. The old me would have just... But in Christ, I didn't just react out of my own nature and out of my own... I actually resolved a conflict before the sun went down. I actually responded by having compassion for them, not just reacting to how they made me feel in that moment. It's incredible when you experience that empowerment of Christ in your life, where your own fear and anxiety can be allayed, and you can, instead of just reacting and just flowing in anger in the natural, begin to flow in the power of the Holy Spirit in responding to people in communication. And you have a chance then to become an uplifter instead of just the second teardown operator in that relationship. And that's powerful. The fourth thing then I'll highlight to you is communication requires grace. Uplifting communication, it requires grace. Again, do not let any wholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, but get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Just as in Christ God forgave you. It requires grace to be an uplifting communicator. It requires an exercise of grace to others, that we could forgive one another as in Christ Jesus we have been forgiven. That we can have compassion for them in the midst of their sin, even when their sin is exerted toward us, as Christ had compassion toward us, even while we exerted our sin in crucifying him on a cross. But that requires, to be able to show that kind of grace to others, that requires the grace of God in us. It requires the grace of God. And you want to be able to work out in your relationships a communication and an interaction that is uplifting, that builds others up, that does this very thing that allows you to forgive others just as in Christ God forgave you. You have to have that grace of Christ working in you. Earlier on in the chapter, it said at verse 17, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. However, this is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ, were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Listen, if we're going to be people who are uplifting communicators that build relationships up rather than to become the tear down people in our relationships, whether that's with our spouse, whether that's with our parents with kids, or kids to their parents, or with your friends and neighbors, with your boss, with your employees, whatever the situation, if you're going to be the kind of people who can invest in other people, get invested. You can't operate out of selfishness, out of your own need and interest, self-interest all the time. You've got to be able to give that up to seek somebody else's interest. You've got to be able to say, I'm not just about my own needs, I'm about your needs. I have to be about what you need in your life in order to be a person of God, in order to be a person reformed, refined, and renewed in the power of Jesus. I have to be connected to that. I have to be able to put my life aside, in effect, in order to invest in you. And where in the world do we get that kind of thing? If we're going to become a people who can actually be self-controlled, be able to lift others up rather than merely react to them, we can't be living our life just out of our own selfish drive and ambitions. We've got to be a people who can live beyond that so that we can live with that kind of self-control. If we're going to be people who can act in grace, we have to be people who are formed in grace. Yeah, listen, you and I don't just read self-help books and fix our relationships. We need that fix that fixes us. I mean, if you're going to be a person who comes and is a contributor to relationship, you have to be a person who's not there filled with need. You have to be a person who is filled in a way that you can actually contribute. And in many relationships, we go into them as the person of need, who is just there sucking in everything that we can out of the other person. And in fact, the worst thing of all that happens is where we believe that that's what relationships are for. Relationships are so that I'm going to get all that I need with no investment, without no imparting, without no self-giving to the other person. I'm just here to kind of absorb and have my needs all filled and satisfied. If that's the foundation with which we come into a marriage, with which we go to parenting, with which we go to taking care of our parents as they get old, to where we go to work every week saying it's all about me, we're living in the mentality that the apostle described as the mentality of Gentiles, who are hard-hearted, darkened in their understanding, have no idea what it is to live the life of God, the life that is righteous and holy, the life that is rendered purified and is able to break out beyond just satisfying our own natural needs and cravings, but actually find a deeper satisfaction, grace, and peace in Jesus Christ, and be transformed in our lives in a way that we become contributors. We become those who are capable of investing in the needs of others, capable of pouring our own lives out to say, I am going to be not just about responding out of my own insecurity, my own hurt. I'm going to instead be self-controlled and actually seek then to resolve this in a way that is upbuilding and uplifting. Instead of letting the sun go down on my anger and give the devil a foothold, I'm going to close all doors to the devil because I'm going to live in the grace of Jesus. I'm going to live, in fact, in a way that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Rather than grieving the Spirit of God, rather than shutting down the work of Christ in my life, rather than closing that door, that's where my life is going to be lived, in the power of Christ. Success in our marriages, success in interacting with our kids, success in dealing with our parents as children, success in working so many places, true success. The eternal kind of quality of success has to be rooted in Christ. That you and I have to be a people who are changed in the power of Christ, to live in the power of Christ, to be able to exercise that kind of a life that is ever in this upbuilding pattern. And so this morning I especially say to you, if you're struggling, if you're in those kind of battles, you're thinking, what is it that I got to do? What is it that I have to work out? How do I have to approach all of this? How am I going to fix them? Because after all, you need help and I'm here to help you. How am I going to do that? The first thing is that you and I must relate ourselves to Christ in a surrendered life of faith and a commitment that allows the Lord to fill us with His own grace and peace, with His own power in the Holy Spirit, that we be a surrendered up people to God, where we allow the Lord to actually bring to life in us this ability that is only in Christ. So that when we deal with other people and when we are relating to them, we can do that in the power of Christ. Because there's no other basis upon which to build relationships, but in Christ Jesus. To have the foundation of your life there so that you, from that foundation, can build others up. And in that process, amazingly enough, you find yourself built up, strengthened more and more, growing more and more. Because as you live in Christ and live that out with other people, it's amazing how you end up becoming this person who is not the one who is in want, but the one who is, in fact, most full, most filled and complete. So set your foundation there, first of all, in Christ Jesus. Build your walk with Him, and out of it, your walk with others. And you be that kind of person who is an uplifting communicator in those relationships in your life. Let's just take a moment. Let's pray together. Lord, as we take this moment to pray, I just want to ask you, Father, to bring to mind for us people that we may need most this morning to apply this word to. To become people who are able to invest, who are honest, who are open, who are self-controlled, and who are people ultimately who live out the grace of Jesus in our lives. Lord, root us in you so that, Lord, in that relationship or in those relationships that you highlight to us. Because, Lord, as we are sitting here listening, I'm just sure that there are so many of us who we were thinking about our relationship with this person and that person. And Lord, this morning we just touched upon the key that's in you, that's you in us, that's you in charge, so that we can be self-controlled, so that we can be people of grace, so that we can be filled in the work of your Holy Spirit in a way that we are able to invest in others, that we, God, open up our lives with such a grace that, Lord, people are able to find trust and hope. And oh God, we just want to pray this morning that you would draw us into your presence in a way that more and more we would be like you, honest to goodness, Lord, like you in righteousness and holiness, that out of that we are freed up from our own selfishness, our own insecurities, our own faking it way of life. Oh dear God, I just want to pray that, Lord, as we go forth, that you'll give us a foundation on which to begin to live in our relationships differently, and especially with those people that have been on our hearts today, that you would begin to give us a picture of how that life is going to be different, how that relationship, how we talk to them, how we treat them, Lord, how we invest our lives in them is going to be different. I just want to pray that you begin to move us along in a way that, Lord, shows that practical empowerment of your Holy Spirit, your grace and love of God in us to make this amazing impact, because Lord, it's in that context that we have the best chance to see people in turn come to faith in Jesus, come to know you, our Savior and Lord. And it's the place where we can grow to a fullness in you as well. So Lord, I'm praying for that power in Jesus' name. Amen.